It's very likely that most of you seated before me here today are here because you are preparing for ministry. Now, that may not be the case of every single one, but for the most of you, that would be true. And that was true for me not that long ago as I sat in a similar place to where you are seated today. And I remember, as if it were yesterday, sitting in that large auditorium and thinking prior to the chapel service and sometimes after hearing a message, what is ministry going to be like? And I'll tell you, it's nothing like what I had in my mind. Not that that's bad. Truthfully, I couldn't have imagined as a young adult all that ministry would entail or what it would be. I can tell you I wouldn't change it for the world. But I will say this to you, that sometimes what we think is ministry may not necessarily be what ministry really is. The Apostle Paul was writing in the book of Romans to a church that he had never visited. As a matter of fact, later in this chapter, he will talk about his desire to visit them because he had a desire to be a blessing to them. We're not exactly certain who founded the church in Rome. You'll find in our text, now Paul has addressed some issues, and I will tell you, every single church has issues. It will, as long as there are human beings in it. But the truth of the matter is, the things Paul addresses needed to be addressed, but as we come to our text, he tells us some very important things about these people, and I do want to read this verse. It's actually not necessarily within what I will look at, but I want to read it to you so you get Paul's frame of mind as he now moves from that correction and talking to them about a part of ministry is seeking the good of one another. And that's certainly true. But look what he says to them in verse 14. And he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you." That's a strong word in the original language. "I'm convinced, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." He was not writing to individuals as he did in the book of 1 Corinthians. They were carnal. Christians, yes. Carnal, absolutely. He had to write to them about things, and he said, "There are certain things I'd like to talk to you about, but you wouldn't get it." To this church, he says, "I'm certain of certain things about you. You're filled with goodness." I read that not long ago and stopped and asked myself the question, if someone were describing my life, would they say that? I trust that they would. I certainly trust they would say it of yours, that your life is full of goodness. Then he says about them, "You're filled with all knowledge." You're not neophytes. You're not babes. You understand when someone stands and preaches the word of God to you. And then he says, "And you're able to admonish one another also." They just don't have knowledge of the word. They know how to take that word and put it into practice. So, I'm not going to spend time there, but I think that's important you understand how Paul viewed them. Because he viewed them that way, he now is going to move into something that is extremely important that they understand. And I would say, my friends, it's extremely important that you and I understand what Paul is about to say. He is going to describe to them what ministry really is. He said, "You have knowledge. You have the ability to admonish one another. You're full of goodness. It's obvious you are Christians, but I don't want you to lose sight of what ministry is." There may not be a set of verses anywhere else in Scripture, at least that I can think of, where Paul is more complete in how he describes ministry. And this morning, in the time that we have, I want to share with you, and I want you to share with me back, five keys to understanding what ministry really is. Let's pray. Lord, Paul saw this as an extremely important topic. He wrote to a group of believers who had studied, who were living Christian lives, who sought to disciple one another. And when I read that text, I thought, that is much of what's going on in the lives of students at Appalachian Bible College. And then he turned right into describing ministry. And that's why they're here. They are here because they're preparing for ministry. And Lord, I would admit, I don't have anything new to tell them. I have no new tricks, no new information. But as Paul will say to them, I'm here to remind them. Peter said that when he wrote his epistles. I'm bringing you in remembrance of these things because they're critical to what we do. So take my simple thoughts today and help us, I pray, to put them in our hearts, and may they be a guide to our lives. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice with me, please, that ministry is a privilege. Look at verse 15. After he's talked to them about what kind of people they are, here's what he says. Nevertheless, even though these are wonderful characteristics, I don't want you to forget this. Brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort or some way, as putting you in mind or bringing to your memory, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want you to think about with me today about ministry is this, and I'm afraid too many people don't look at it this way. It's why I'm preaching about it. Ministry, my friends, is a privilege. It is a privilege. If you don't take anything away from the rest of the chapel service of what I say, now granted, I hope you do, but if you don't, take this home with you. Ministry is a privilege. In truth, God does not need any of us. And I think sometimes we forget that. We get the idea that it's all about what we do, and if we don't do, then God's going to be in trouble. Some of you, probably juniors or seniors, may have been here back in 2009 when I preached from a text in the book of Esther. And I preached about that phrase where Mordecai says to Esther, if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then enlargement and deliverance will come from another place. He had encouraged Esther to go in before the king and plead for the Jewish people. And he had given her every reason she should do that. And she had given, I'm going to be kind, a human reason for not doing so. I might be killed. And he says, okay, let's think this through. Esther, you've been given a privilege to do something that no one else has the privilege to do, but you do need to understand this, because you need to understand that even if you don't, God is going to deliver his people because he promised to do that. God does not need any of us to do anything. And I'll just add this. If he did, he would fail to be God. Think that through. If God needed us, he would fail to be God. He doesn't need us. But as Paul said, in his grace, he has permitted us, he has given us the privilege to work arm in arm, hand in hand, yoke to yoke with him. I don't know about you, but every single morning when I roll out of bed, and it's usually pretty early, and when my feet touch the floor, I've asked God to remind me, and he does. Today, you have the privilege of working with the King of Kings, the creator of this universe, the ruler of all. I could have done something else, but what a privilege this is. Paul got that. You see, Paul had studied at the feet of probably the most prestigious teacher of his time, Gamaliel. And Paul had it all down pat. He would have been one of those A students. And he was out doing everything he knew according to the law, persecuting the church. And it would have been real easy for God to go, okay, bud, zap, you're done. No. God in his grace met him one day on the Damascus Road. And he said, Paul, aren't you finding it just a little bit difficult to fight me? Paul said, is that you, Lord? Right. Now you're on the right track. And he would take Paul and move him from being the prime student of Gamaliel to being the individual that would have the grand privilege of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And by the way, that affected you and me all those years ago. All of us. And you know something? Paul never got over the grace and the privilege of serving God. And may we never get over that, my friend. If God has called you to ministry, you have been granted a grand privilege. Ministry is a privilege. It's not a right. It's not even a vocation. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Notice secondly with me, please. True ministry has a point of focus. Look in your Bible at verse 16. I read that first portion, I'll come back to it, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I have the privilege to be a minister, and I know you haven't had time as I have, but if you would study Romans 15, Paul uses two different words in the original language that are translated minister in this text. In a couple of places, and you would know this word because you hear it in messages, is the word diakonos. We get our word deacon from it, that servant, that bond servant, the one that comes alongside and does those things that are necessary and without honor usually. But in this verse, when Paul said, it is through the grace of God that I have been named a minister, he uses a totally different word. Liturgos. We get our word liturgy from it, or translated sometimes and more often, priest. Paul now, as he writes to this group, says, I have a ministry. And many times he calls himself a bondservant. But when he comes to this verse and he talks about ministry, he said, I have been granted by the grace of God to be a priest before God. And my work, and here's my point, the point of focus of the ministry in verse 16 is the ministering of the gospel of God. Now, I'm going to be very careful this morning because I do not want to offend anyone in this room. Because of what I do at Baptist Men Missions, especially on the enlistment side, I deal with a lot of individuals that are interested in ministry. There are a couple from this group that are going to be doing some short-term trips with us this summer. Praise the Lord. But for the most part, I deal with those individuals that are interested in career ministry. And I have people write and say, I'd like to go do this, or I'd like to go do that, and I would like to go do this. And so often anymore, people that write me are not necessarily so interested in going to share the gospel. My friend, the whole point of ministry is the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might take on different forms at times, but that is the sole purpose. It is the motive. It's the driving force. It's why we go. It is the privilege of sharing that news with other individuals. Paul never got over the gospel. In every book that he writes, it will be the central theme. And he says to them, God has privileged me to be a priest before God in taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And he said, one day as the priest stood before the altar, I will one day stand before my Savior and my Lord, and my offering is going to be redeemed souls that responded to the gospel. I want to ask you something. If the Lord would come today, and we all well know that he could, and would to God that he would, unless you think about the Bema, would you stand before the Lord today as a priest and say, Lord, these are the ones with whom I've shared the gospel. They are my offering to you. Often in his writings, Paul will talk about a sweet-smelling savor of the Gentiles. That was that offering. Would you have an offering to give to the Lord? And I want to say this. When you think about the priests in the Old Testament, they were always to bring only the best. Let me ask you. In your ministry, be it extension ministry, on one of the ministry teams from the schools, the Gospel Heralds, who have been such a blessing to the Baptism and Missions Annual Conference. I want to say that. But our ministry deserves our very best. You read the book of Malachi, the very last chapter in the Old Testament, just before those 400 silent years. What was the first thing that's addressed in Malachi 1? God talks to the priests. He says, you're bringing me lame animals, polluted offerings. I wonder if our ministry might be considered that before the Lord today. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying we need to be thinking about these things. The point of ministry is the simple sharing of the gospel. It's the heart of what we do. And true ministry without having gospel as its focal point, or I should say ministry, without having the gospel as its focal point, is really not true ministry. Paul reminds us of that. I have been privileged to be a priest and ministering the gospel. Notice with me number 3. Ministry has a purpose. Look at verse 17. Paul says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ Jesus in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. There are many people who come to this text and say, that Paul guy, he's bragging all the time. Not if you read the text. Paul says, there is something about which I can boast. But did you catch what he said? What I have to boast about is what God has done. And I have been privileged to be a part of that. And my friend, when you are in ministry and you are serving as God wants you to, you will see God work. It's a wonderful thing to walk beside the Lord and watch Him do things that otherwise could never be done. Could never be. I would say that this place is a testimony to that very thing, of what God has done. And that's what Paul said. And I would say that too many people enter the ministry without having this purpose. The purpose of our ministry, whatever God would call us to do, is to bring glory to Him. Paul said, I glory in what my Savior has done. When you see the Lord working, maybe in your extension ministry or in your home church, do you give God the glory? I'm not saying this because He's here, but my pastor is with me. The Lord led him to our church, and I just want to say to you, we are seeing God work. It's a wonderful thing. It's tremendous. But I will say this to you, and not because He's here, He will constantly remind us. It's not because of what He's doing. It's because of what God is doing. And Paul says, I can boast in what the Lord has done. What had the Lord done? He had brought the Gentiles to an understanding of salvation and led them to salvation. And Paul said, that's the pinnacle. And I've watched God do it. Now, I want you to notice something in this verse that's very important. Look what he said. Paul said here in verse 18, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. Paul said, I'll talk to you all day about what God has done as the gospel has been preached. But Paul said, I wouldn't even dare to let pass my lips anything that I have done that God is not in. Now that's quite a statement. There are a lot of people today in ministry, and if you are around them very long, you will hear them talk about what they have done. And I'm just going to say to you that that ministry is just wood, hay, and stubble. because it isn't about us. It's all about what God does, even when he does it through us. I want you to stop and think about it. Paul grasped this truth. You and I've already said God doesn't need us, but he's given us grace and lets us be a part of what he does. But the truth of the matter is, you and I don't even have anything we can offer him. You say, well, wait a minute, I have a few talents. Well, Paul thought he did too till he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Truthfully, we don't have anything. The Lord takes us and enables us to do what we otherwise could not do with the sole purpose of honoring and bringing glory to him. Paul said, don't forget that about ministry. He said, you're mature people, you're a good church, but I want you to understand what this is all about. It's all about bringing glory to the Lord. Some of you may recognize the name Tolstoy. He was a Russian writer. Later in his life, he had a spiritual experience, and I believe, from what I've been able to read, probably did come to know the Lord. But I was reading a story this week in another book, and I came across this, and it really came to my mind. There was a budding artist, and he had painted a picture of the Lord's Supper, and he brought it to Leo Tolstoy to look at, and he studied it for a minute. He looked at all the different characters, and then he pointed right in the middle, and he said to the artist, you don't love him. And the artist said, well, what? That's Christ. Tolstoy replied, if you loved him, you would have painted him better. I want you to stop and think about our week, what we've done. The picture we have painted with our lives in front of others, has it brought out our Lord to them? Have we brought glory to his name? Yes, the work may have been done by us, but did the Spirit work through us to the point where it was our Savior that was exalted? That is the purpose of ministry, to glorify God. Number four, quickly. Ministry requires God's power. Look at verse 19. Paul has said, the Lord has permitted me to preach. And he said, the Gentiles have become obedient. Now look at verse 19. He's worked through me mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. There would be many today who would say, the verse would have gone like this, through mighty signs and wonders. Because that would have brought the honor to Paul. But Paul said, yes, there have been mighty signs. There have been wonders. There have been hundreds of Gentiles who have come to Christ. But listen, I didn't do that. That was the Spirit of God that was working through me. It's very, very easy, my friends, to do work in our own strength. And you know what? You can see success, at least in our eyes. You can watch television if you turn to the religious channel. I try to jump over it. But sometimes if you get stuck there, you will hear men talking about their success and what they have done and on and on and on. Paul says, it is only as the Spirit of God empowers me that I am able to do anything. He said, you see those Gentiles that have been won to Christ? That was through the working of the Spirit. By the way, I know this part. Paul wasn't perfect. He was human. And I think there may be, now, some of the Bible teachers here may disagree with me, and if they do, they're probably right. But I think that Paul's discourse at Athens, as eloquent as it was, might well have been done in what he had learned at the feet of Gamaliel. I'm not saying what he said was wrong. I think it was right. But later in Corinthians, when Paul writes to them, he said, I didn't come to you with eloquent words, as if he was remembering what had happened back in Athens. By the way, What was the result in Athens? We'll hear you another day. Paul said, when I came to you folks in Corinthians, I didn't come with eloquent words. I came with simple speech, and here's what he says, and in the power of the Spirit. And some of you who were once fornicators and adulterers and liars and a whole list of things are now the sons of God. And young people, faculty, myself this morning, we must never forget that true ministry that will last, that will be tried by fire one day, is only ministry that is empowered by the Spirit of God. And Paul was able to say, and I have been able to preach, and I've covered the whole area where I've been. That was my goal. Here's the last thing, and I'm finished. Ministry should follow God's plan. Look at what he says. He says in verse 20, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. As it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. It's a quote from Isaiah 52. Here's what Paul says. When God gave us the Great Commission, he told us that every creature was to be preached to. Paul never forgot that. Paul said, I will not go anywhere where Christ has already been preached. I'm going to go to the place where Christ hasn't been preached because that was God's plan that the world would hear. And he talked about that area in the previous verse. I didn't have time to go into it, but he talked about that area that he had covered. Now listen to me very carefully. Do we need good churches in this country? Absolutely. But do you realize that 95%, these are recent figures, I checked them before I came, 95% of the entire Christian workforce is located in Christian countries. 5% is in the unevangelized world. Now, if God has called you to pastoral ministry, I will not try to talk you out of it, but I do want to point out to you that God's plan is that the world may hear. And in a group this size, certainly there must be some that would say, I understand, and I will go wherever God moves me to go, and I will preach the gospel. There's a church not far from us that was looking for a pastor just before our church had to look for a pastor when our pastor died and went to be with the Lord. They received 200 resumes for guys wanting to pastor that church. And I'm thinking to myself, there are places around this world that are open to the gospel, and who is going to go there? People that understand ministry, like Paul did. Some of you may recognize the name Ernest Shackleton. He was the great explorer of the Antarctic. I just read a book about him being shipwrecked at the bottom of the world. It's fascinating. But in 1913, he put an ad in a London paper. And I'm going to read to you what this ad said. I wonder how you would respond. Here's what it said. Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, and safe return, doubtful. Over 1,000 men responded to that advertisement. And he chose 27 and one young boy of about 15 years old stowed away. And they were shipwrecked at the bottom of the world. He told them, safe return, it's unlikely. By the way, they did. Didn't lose a man. They did not accomplish their goal. I would say to you, if men would respond to an advertisement like that, should not the child of God respond to his plan? How do you look at ministry? Pray with me, would you please? Father, please take these simple thoughts, things that might not have been cleared, make them clear in their minds, I pray. And Lord, as we close this chapel service, help each of us to ask ourselves, am I involved in ministry as described here in your word? Help us to be, I pray in Jesus' name.